Welcome councillors, members of the gallery, council staff. Welcome to Fab, who's our acting GM at the moment. So, welcome. Can I ask you all to be upstanding for the council prayer? I declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen.
Recording in progress.
I would like to acknowledge the Wangal people of the Eora Nation, who are the traditional custodians of this land, and I pay my respects to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to other First Nations people who may be present or online. I'll just remind councillors of their oath or affirmation of office under Section 223A of the Local Government Act, and your obligation under Council's Code of Conduct to disclose and appropriately manage conflicts of interest. Just note that the meetings are recorded. They're audio recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of the meeting minutes. These recordings are also there to promote public transparency, and they are subject to the provisions of the Government Information Act of 2009. I note we don't have any apologies, but we might. I know Councillor Hugo Robinson's running late, but we might move an apology in the event he doesn't make it. So it's been moved by Councillor Hull, seconded by Councillor Kutcher, that apology for Councillor Hugo and leave be granted. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? That was carried unanimously. Declarations of interest by councillors. Councillor Hull.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have declaration for item number 83/22, as one of the closed meeting agenda items for the Woodstock Childcare Centre lease. I need to declare that I'm a significant non-pecuniary interest, as in that I'm a customer of that childcare centre. That's two of my children currently attend the centre. In respect to managing that interest, I'll be absenting myself from the discussion and the vote, and I'll be leaving the room.
Thank you, Councillor. Noted. And it's been undertaken by governance. Any other declarations of interest? Declarations of political donations? Just a reminder that our voting decisions now are recording as per the new model code of conduct. Confirmation of the minutes for the meeting held on the 26th of July 2022. It's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Esper. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried unanimously. We've got a speaker also here, if you just bear with me. I don't have the speakers list, sorry. Sorry, just bear with me. Is this it? That's it. Sorry. It's up there. So we've got a speaker on agenda items. And it's in relation to, it's a Mr. Michael White, in relation to the Merrill Minute, which is the heritage investigation at 9 Yarralla Street Burwood. He's speaking in favour of the Merrill Minute. Mr. White, you have 3 minutes. I just remind you that you're only to address the topic of the item and not to address personalities. Welcome, and please, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate everyone taking this into consideration tonight. I obviously put it forward to a few councillors many weeks ago that I'd love for not only this property but a few others to be considered further for heritage consideration. My house itself is one of the neighbouring properties, and it seems to be a almost a direct replica of that said property at number 9 Yarralla. I'm on an adjoining street in Selborne. It's of the similar vintage, pretty much 90% of the features are of the same. It's come to my attention that that particular property obviously has been dilapidating over time, but more importantly, the more it dilapidates, the more it would be considered to be of better fit or purpose for resale, being demolishing or, you know, potentially expanding that current footprint. So I just really wanted to get an investigation done, if that's okay with you all. The one thing I did note on the mayoral minute was to suggest that it would be absorbed as part of a broader heritage review. Obviously, that is not a review that I'm privy to, but would love to understand a little bit more about that, if possible, in due course.
Thank you, Mr. White. So, councillors, there's a mayoral minute that I have, which is 10/22 Heritage Investigation, 9 Yarrella Street. I would say that you've all read the minute, so I'll put the motion. The minute, which is the general manager initiates a preliminary in-house review of the property at 9 Yarrella Street Build, and if deemed appropriate, include the property in the heritage review program currently being prepared by the City Strategy Directorate. Just before I go into questions, I might just hand over to Dylan, who's our director of city planning, just to speak about that city strategy that we're actually looking at the program currently. Dylan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I think really just to recap on some of the heritage investigations that we have underway, and councillors might recall that we reported and got a resolution from council on a further heritage investigation for properties at Cooper Street, which is underway. We also have a further resolution on properties in the vicinity of 11 Seal Street, and that incorporates properties in Ireland Street. So there's properties there that have been identified as having some heritage potential. So again, that work is underway. And what we're really considering is how we might progress with similar area-based heritage investigations, just to really capture and strengthen our heritage listings and include prospective properties like Yarrella Street in those future investigations if it's deemed appropriate.
So just my question, and I know we discussed this and it's a bit of a history, but just for the knowledge and understanding of everyone else present. So what happens initially is our heritage advisor will do a preliminary in-house sort of assessment, which is sort of like a light assessment. Then they say, look, there's obviously something to look further at here, and there could be merit, or they strike it out right away. Is that correct?
Broadly speaking, that we'd like to do an in-house assessment first and do that preliminary investigation, and then if we do think it's merit, go forward with a detailed heritage investigation. And that's required ultimately to support the planning proposal process and provide that evidence base to have the item listed in Schedule 5.
And there's a certain criteria that they sort of go through, so it's not sort of just someone's opinion, is that correct?
That's right. So there's a number of criteria: aesthetic value, local history and sort of heritage associated with the property, uniqueness and rarities consideration as well. So you do only need to meet one of those criteria to be worthy of consideration, but there's a number of criteria, and a quite a detailed investigation is undertaken for those properties.
And with the review, so say that gets the tick and there's merit, what's the stage then and timing?
So we need to report to council to seek endorsement to proceed with the formal listing, and that would then initiate a planning proposal process. So that would allow us to go forward for a gateway to termination through the Department of Planning. It receives an initial review there in terms of, I guess, testing the currency and the depth of information provided, and we sometimes receive feedback and ask to provide further details through that process, and then we're allowed to then continue on with public notification on those proposed amendments. So in terms of a process, that planning proposal gateway process, it can be the order of sort of, you know, 6 to 8 months just to go through the administrative process there, which is, I guess, why it's sometimes more efficient to do these as a group of properties rather than doing on a sort of one by one as they appear process.
So with the, so like precinct studies we're currently doing, so for example, if there was, if there was evidence to suggest that this property meets the criteria and we want to proceed with a heritage listing, could it, rather than having, because every time you're doing an individual property, I think it's like a planning proposal process alone, I think is in the order of like $30,000-$40,000, is that correct, from budget? Or can you do it as a group with the Seal Street properties, that, you know, how you're looking at that area, like as a precinct? Could that be added, even though it's not in that area, it could still be as part of the same planning proposal, same fees? Is that right or not?
Potentially. So, look, I think it's always advisable to, you know, in terms of the heritage list, is trying to take a logical, methodical approach, and trying to undertake it in groups rather than doing it on an individual basis. So, and it's really managing, I think, time and resources internally, but also I think just managing the sort of community expectation there, is that we've done a review, it's been in this particular area or these particular streets, and there's been a clear investigation. We can also consult in that area as well.
Okay. And then just my last question is, the flip side of that is, if we believe there's sort of danger that there's going to be a demolition before we've had the opportunity, that's when we trigger the interim heritage order.
That's correct. So under the Heritage Act, we can only use those powers if there's a pending or immediate threat of demolition or substantial alteration. So an example of that would be lodgement of a compliant development certificate to either demolish the dwelling or lodgement of a DA.
Which is what happened with Seal Street.
Correct. So we received a DA there for demolition, and that's when we enacted the IHO powers.
Any other questions? Councillor Kutcher?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Look, I really just want to understand more. I thank you for those questions and the responses that have been provided, because it gives good context. But I just want to understand a little bit more deeply about the Heritage Review Program that's referred to here. So my understanding of those investigations that are currently underway, we're responsive to community requests or community interest in those particular areas, and that they're proceeding in different stages. So we've got a request for a quote for the Cooper Street investigations. We're looking at talking with some consultants about the Seal Street and Island Street. This is information that I've obtained through the General Manager recently. And I just wonder, I want to be clear, are we, if we agree to this mayoral minute tonight, are we committing ourselves to spend money on a heritage assessment, on actually getting the expertise to come on board, or are we committing to the in-house review and then we have another decision that comes back to council to allocate the funds to carry out the formal assessment? So I guess I want to be clear on that. As we're deciding to include this in an existing program, does that mean we're deciding on allocating funds tonight?
I don't believe so. I'll get Dylan to add. I believe it's the process is to have an in-house assessment first, so it gives us a professional opinion. Otherwise, we can be putting motions and mayoral minutes up at every meeting saying, well, we want this house and we want this house, and it sort of becomes ad hoc, non-strategic and political. So I believe what would happen is our in-house heritage advisor, Gavin, would go out and do a bit of an assessment. He will then actually have a look at the history. I've received some of the history on the property or those group of homes from the resident as well, which I thank that resident for, which will help, which has been passed on to our heritage advisor as well, so that'll help him start that process. I then believe, from my experience I've seen in the process, they then make a call on a criteria basis. So does it have heritage significance, does it have local history, all that stuff. So it goes through a ticker box system. If it ticks enough of those boxes, I believe then the decision is to say, okay, well, there is enough here for us to then get an independent process looked at. Am I correct, Dylan? It will then come back to council, I believe, for a report, which will say, look, we've done a preliminary assessment. We believe this should move forward, or it shouldn't, for these reasons. And council wants to put it on this program to begin a heritage listing for this, to get a formal independent person to now assess it. And then we spend funds, so we'll have to allocate some budget money on having that heritage consultant give us an independent report, I believe. Is that correct, Dylan? Yeah. And then it will then come back via a further report which will say this proceeds or not. Did you want to add anything to that, Dylan?
No, look, I think you have covered it there, Mr. Mayor. Other than to say, I think, you know, we need to report back to council and really outline for you and seek your views on what an acceptable process might be beyond just looking at number 9 Urella Street.
So, and what's happened, I guess, I've seen in the past is we might pick up a property like 9 Urella Street that comes to mind, and then it doesn't stop Gavin actually looking at, our heritage advisor looking at that sort of mini precinct. So it might actually trigger that precinct, which is what's happened in Seal Street. So you've got Seal Island, those streets that became a precinct, same as Cooper Street. And I believe one of the next precincts we're looking at is how do we strengthen the Appian Way? So while it's a conservation area, do we go further and strengthen that via a state listing? You know, do we do state-listed heritage items in there, or a state-listed conservation area? Did you want to speak a bit more about the heritage program we're currently undertaking, Dylan, or do you want to leave that for the next item?
I can touch on it briefly and just give council some further background and context. We're doing a number of initiatives at the moment, aside from just looking at those properties which are heritage listed. Obviously, we have quite a number of heritage conservation areas, and we receive a number of applications from residents there wanting to extend their properties. We do find that on occasion, maybe some residents are a little bit ambitious about what they can do with their property. So we're trying to be proactive and provide some very good and clear advice about what good... architecture, or what good forms of extensions, alterations look like in heritage conservation areas, and try and outline in nice, simple, clear terms some of the criteria that we look at and how we might assess those properties so that residents can, be armed with a bit of information before they embark on that project. We've also done a number of things already, just improving the processes around, some of the more minor works which might be exempt. So we have a process established where residents can notify us in writing of the works they're intending to undertake, and our heritage advisor can give them confirmation that yes, they are minor works and they don't need further approvals, and also improving access to information around things like heritage colour schemes, which are important with our heritage conservation areas, and outlining what those things mean as well. And the other piece of work we'll be doing is part of the review of the current Burwood Development Control Plan, is really interrogating the controls we have in there, making sure that they're as clear as they possibly can be, and I think improving some of the visual information in there as well. So very simply having some diagrams of examples of what good architecture, what good extensions look like in heritage conservation areas. Again, just so we can improve the level of information we're providing to customers before they embark on their renovation projects, really.
Thanks, Dylan. Mr. Porter, any other questions? Speakers... For look, I'd just quickly, any other speakers before I have my right of reply? I'd just quickly like to thank the resident, Michael, for raising Michael White, who lives in Selborne Street. It's funny enough, it was quite coincidental. I think a few days before I received Michael's email, I actually walked past that house, and I for some reason thought it was heritage listed. And I know I've raised with the staff previously a number of times where there's been sort of hoarding of materials at the front and that it's sort of becoming derelict, in my view. In saying that, I think a couple of years back I raised at this council last term, I think it was 44 Yarralla Street, which came onto the market, which is quite a nice example, which we ended up listing as a heritage item as well, which was sold at that time, which is now protected. And there's beautiful pocket. A great example, I think, is Mr. White's house on Selborne Street, which is a mirror image of what this property is and could be. And it's got quite great character, especially when you're on the outskirts of the town centre and you've got all that high density located within the town centre. It's great to have that mix of housing, which is still protected, that single dwelling housing. So I'll put them in it. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? I declare that was carried unanimously. Michelle? So are you okay with that, Michelle? I've been asked to slow down a bit so they can get the next. Next item is item 78/22, which is the draft community parks hire policy. It's been moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Manner. Do I have any questions? Councillor Kutcher?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. I just the query I have is in relation to political groups or groups of a political nature. So I couldn't see anything in the list of categories there. Perhaps they are a community group. I'm not sure. I just wondered if we could get some clarification on that.
I might just hand over to Brooke. So that was moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Manner.
Yeah, I'll just through you, Mr. Mayor, political groups don't receive a concession category, so they're not one of the groups. They would be charged standard higher fees.
Is there a reason for that, or...?
I think that
considering
in terms
they're
of...
usually not-for-profit anyway, but...
Yeah, look, it's something that we, I guess there's certain locations and certain activities where we don't actually permit political groups to interact, particularly around events and festivals and in certain locations. So that's been our practice in the past.
But what if a group, and I don't have a problem with sort of moving forward with tonight, but maybe just looking at it, like community hire of the Woodstock Hall or... And especially, for the larger political parties, it's probably more affordable because we're a larger organisation. But your smaller groups where, and your independent groups where you might have community residence groups and so forth would find, and historical societies, even the Greens, I must add, with all due respect, I think it's a bit harder, and I think it might create a bit of a disadvantage, considering they're not-for-profits and it's part of the democratic process. In saying that, it might mean a meeting hire for a meeting, not necessarily a political event. I know we don't allow political events. Anyway, something to think about and maybe further discussion.
We can certainly take that on board. It's going out on public exhibition, so those categories that we've outlined very much align to our traditional categories that we've had in place for a number of years. It's not something that's come up before, but we can certainly take that on board and look at it as part of that broader public exhibition process.
Well, I know, for example, the Labor Party would have a monthly branch meeting at one of the local sort of clubs or higher that... If it's not a political event, so you're not going out there trying to have some type of political event, it might be beneficial if it's available. Like, for example, no, I'm not talking on behalf of the Labor Party. I think we've already got a location anyway. But what I'm trying to say is if the council has an availability and they can charge some type of fee for that user, it might be beneficial for us from a rental point of view, as a council. But anyway, that's something to consider. So it was moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Manner. Any other questions? Speakers? For? Against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? So that was unanimous. Yeah, I'll do that at the end. I've got to get it. I don't know if I'll get it. I think I might have it here. There's another mayoral minute on pavers and hoardings, but I haven't put that. I'll put that when we finish the general business items, just because that came in late, just in case you haven't had a chance to read it. Next item is 79/22, which is the draft disability inclusion plan. Do I have any movers? Been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Kutcher. Questions? Speakers for? Speakers against? Put the motion. All those against? All those in favour? Those against? I declare that carried unanimously. Draft property strategy, 80/22, moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Manner. Speakers, questions? Speakers for?
I'll obviously be supporting the recommendation, but I just wanted to note that we did have a couple of comments made from the community on that report, and it's pleasing to see. I think we should be taking the opportunity to hear from our community wherever possible on these kinds of strategic decisions and documents.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers? Right, a reply. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? That was unanimous as well, Michelle, for your reporting. Investment report 81/22, which is on page 84. It's been moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Manner. Questions? Speakers for? Against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried unanimous, I believe. Questions without notice, which is on page 89. Which is to receive and note the reports. Been moved by Councillor Kutcher, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Questions? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried unanimously. 91, which is the local traffic committee reports. Been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Crichton. And I believe there was a recommendation to go with option 2. Is that correct for the... Yep. Any questions?
Yeah, there is
a question.
So,
just your microphone, Councillor.
So it says vehicles are exempt. Does that mean you can have a trailer attached to the vehicle? Is that appropriate or not?
I might just hand that over to our Director of City Assets.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the sign is no parking motor vehicles accepted. So that the vehicle itself would have to have a motor, but yes, if it's attached to a vehicle, it would have a motor vehicle attached to it.
I think you meant, what if you had a motor vehicle and then had on the back of it a trailer with a boat?
So that should be fine, because the trailer is attached to a motor vehicle.
So what happens if you've got the same car, the guy goes and puts a car on that trailer? I think they're two different, because they're two different registrations.
Well, we're only restricting one space, and then at least the car would give you that distance to see past that driveway as well.
So anyway, take that on notice and you can have a look. Any other questions?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, could I just ask if there's any benefit in a convex mirror being installed? Would there be?
George?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We tend to not install convex mirrors on council property because the perception of speed and distance is a bit distorted, and colour when the sun's going down. So I know private properties might install it on their property, but generally on council property we tend to not install.
Can we just take that on notice and maybe investigate that location? I mean, if there is a pole or anything, you might, I don't know, just take it on notice and then we can give them further advice.
Sure.
I think, there's been it's been a standard, unless it's a real blind spot. I believe we've had a policy where we don't install it only because it could also raise, I think, liability issues. I think we've gotten some advice where we can say, well, I relied on the mirror that the council installed. So, any other questions? I'll put the motion for that to be adopted. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. 150-year anniversary steering committee, RC 822 on page 100, being moved by Councillor Crichton for the report to be received, seconded by Councillor Esper. Questions, speakers, for, against, put the motion, all those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. I'll just quickly put, have you all got the Merrill Minute, 11/22, pavers and hoardings? So just have a look at that, and then we'll go into the notice of motion and we'll deal with the minute after the motion. The minute's quite simple, it's just an investigation, I think. So the next item is 105, which is page 105, NM2/22, which is the notice of motion by Councillor Cutcher. So, Councillor, you want to move the motion?
Yes, I'd like to move that Council affirms its commitment to the identification and protection of local heritage in the Burwood local government area. That two, requires the General Manager to consult with the community to identify any items, properties and sites that could be considered for investigation of local heritage significance. And three, requires the General Manager to investigate options and budgetary considerations for a review of Council's approach to identification and protection of local heritage items and report on these matters to Council. And I might just change the wording there to say within a reasonable time frame, just to decouple it from the LEP review process following discussion I've had with colleagues over the last 24 hours.
Okay, Councillor Crichton.
Thank you. I will second it with an amendment.
Well, I'll just ask if Councillor Kutcher will accept the amendment first.
Thank you. Can I read it? Thank you. So one would remain the same, that Council affirms its commitment to the identification and protection of local heritage in the Burwood local government area, and two, that a councillor workshop be held to provide information on the heritage listing of properties and identification of heritage conservation areas across the Burwood LGA, including an overview of the background of the past heritage reviews undertaken and work currently underway to ensure the identification and protection of local heritage. And no three. Thank you.
Are you prepared to accept that amendment?
Look, I can see the value in having such a workshop, but I think it substantially changes the intention of the motion, and I would not accept that amendment.
Fair enough. Do I have a seconder for an amended motion then? So it's been seconded by Councillor Manor. So we'll have to deal with the amendment first. If the amendment then gets resolved, it then becomes the motion. Does that make sense? Just so everyone's not confused. So your amendment, Councillor?
Oh, thank you. Just briefly, I'd just like to say that Council continues to do a lot of work in this.
Sorry, just before I start. Michelle, is process correct, how we just dealt with the amendment? Yep, I know that. I was just clarifying for the other councillors to be aware. Okay, sorry, Councillor.
Thank you. I think it's just important to recognise that Council has done and continues to do a lot of work in this heritage space. As far back as 2012, Council began a heritage review. It was a very comprehensive review, and Council worked closely with our community over many years. That review culminated in resolutions being adopted by the previous council back in August 2019, of which there were seven clauses, and I have them here. It was really comprehensive. It dealt with heritage, everything from current controls and processes, heritage colours, practices of the council aimed at promoting heritage, encouraging participation. So I really think it goes on and on. But I really think that we do have a strategic approach. We have a plan in place. I think it's working really well. With the odd item that hasn't been captured by our heritage reviews, such as this evening, the item this evening, I think that we have a system in place where we have very informed residents. They know where to come. They're online here tonight at council, and I think it's working wonderfully well. So for me, I don't think that we need to be doing anything else other than educating our new councillors on the work that we've already done and supporting our staff in the work that they are already doing.
Councillor Manor, you will speak.
Well said. I concur fully with Councillor Crichton. I was there during that period of time when fair bit of consultation work was done with the community and council, and the strategies that they've got in place are strategies that are working. I think it's important that councillors, new councillors come on board, get to understand what was done. That workshop is so important to give us an idea of how this whole structure of heritage is managed and how we continue to add to it as we move along. So it's a cost-effective way of doing it. It took a fair bit of time over the years to work through, but I think what we're doing now is great.
Any other speakers? Speakers against? Councillor Kutcher?
Look, I mean, I can appreciate the contributions that have been made. I understand that there's quite a bit of work that has gone in, and I certainly do appreciate the work that that council and the staff have done in this space previously. I guess the issue that I have with the amendment is that it brings our focus away from the identification of heritage. And it brings our focus away from the protection of heritage that where those things are not working well. And it puts the focus on things like how we deal with proposed changes to heritage that has already been identified and has already been listed in a heritage conservation area, for example. So what I would like to see us doing is taking a more proactive approach to involving the community in the identification of heritage. And we have seen that heritage identification, there are gaps. Since I've been a councillor, there have been numerous motions that have been brought and resolutions that have been made at this council to fill some of those gaps. I'm asking that we develop a process to allow that to happen. That is a proactive process, and that puts our community on notice that we want to hear from them on this issue, and that with relation to the protection of heritage. We're hearing that that's not always working well as well. So we've got a property up on Appian Way that's been heritage listed, and I understand that we're having quite some trouble with the owner of that property in getting them to comply with the heritage requirements. And we've also had mayoral minutes being brought to this council since I've been a councillor, asking us to write to the heritage minister for greater powers to be able to deal with non-compliance or not looking after heritage properties. What strategies can we put in place? What conversations can we have with our community? What options can we come up with to do things differently? We've got sticks. We can wave sticks around. What kind of carrots might we be able to find? So that's the intent of my motion. I don't believe the amendment meets that intention, and I would ask councillors not to support the amendment.
Any other speakers? I'm going to speak in favour of the amendment. I'd like to commend Councillor Kutcher for his motion and his passion on the issue. So while I don't have an issue with the intent, I think the best way to go about it is to keep it within sort of a strategic method, and I think we spoke about this today. I've got an actual heritage map here, and I know it's quite small, so you can't see it, and I won't use a prop, but there's a large section of red that you'll start seeing, and these sections, when, 10 years ago, didn't exist. It was this council that actually, we resolved to have the Sintra Heritage Conservation Area, which adjoins the Malvern Hill Estate. Then we did the Bellwood North, which is the Wallace Brady Street conservation area, and we've added a few more to those as well. That gives you quite a large parcel of property and homes between Paisley Road, the Strand, Liverpool Road and Shaftesbury Road, which is pretty much a whole quadrant of the electorate now on its own, which is a conservation area. While I understand the intent, I don't know if it's going to meet expectations to have a process where we've got residents suggesting. We had that in 2012 and 13. We went through that process. And it created, rather than sort of bringing communities together, it created a bit of division. So we had a bit of
some residents wanting the next door neighbour's property listed but not their own. And while it didn't meet the criteria, they were arguing with our heritage advisor. They couldn't accept that there's a criteria it's got to meet. So it just sort of had that, took it out of the hands of the professionals and that strategic professional approach. And it became more of a community level, which is not bad, but in saying that, sometimes people's understanding of what heritage might be from a criteria point of view. So what heritage is to me might be different to Councillor Manor, might be different to Councillor Robertson. That's why there's a professional criteria that you go through, and it gets assessed by our staff. In saying that, I'm open that when we do the workshop, to maybe if there are ideas from councillors, and if you've got ideas that you want to put forward in the workshop, that we can consider that. I mean, that's why we hold workshops as well, to bounce ideas. If you've got some good ideas on how we could do it better, I'm just a bit conscious of the fact that if we, while we bring the community and have their involvement, I think we do that when we're doing that study of that precinct area, and I just. And I've probably had a bit of briefings on it, so a little bit more than the councillors. And we went through the process of, in 2019, where we did an overall heritage study and review for the area, where we listed a whole stack of heritage properties as well. And now we're doing, which might have missed a couple of properties, like Eurella Street, so there's no doubt. That's why we're doing now a bit more of the targeted precinct areas. And I'm just conscious that if we get a flood of 100 properties come in, our heritage advisor, rather than sort of focusing in a strategic, professional fashion, going through the whole LGA, which he will cover, and does then consult with the residents. So, for example, now with Appian Way, they'll consult with the residents of Appian Way, as they are with Seal and Island Street and Cooper Street and so forth. I'm just a bit conscious that we don't get thrown off track and then we become into this ad hoc system again, which was prior to 2010, and that's where we're having issues. So I appreciate the intent, support that intent. That's why I think our commitment, was no doubting we support part one. But at this stage, I think if we do a workshop, get an understanding and have it driven by the professionals and the strategic advice, I think it just takes it out of the grey area. It becomes a bit of a black and white area, and it's just a bit more, I think, professional to deal with it. In saying that, like I said quickly in finishing up, if there are ideas and other ways of getting the community involved and new ideas, maybe, how can we dangle the carrot? If we come up with some ideas, we can come back here and debate it again at council meeting. There's no question that we don't have to rule anything out at that stage. But it might just be good for all of us to get a bit of a refresh at where we're up to and where we want to be, I guess. Any other speakers? Councillor Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I agree with largely what you said, but I think I get what Councillor Cutch is trying to do, and I think I agree with him in the sense that we really, tonight's motion about Seal Street was a really good example of the community alerting to us something that they considered heritage. And I think that there is a place for sort of both the experts and the community providing information and feedback to what they see. And I get your point about sort of grey areas and understanding that some, what is heritage to one person might be not to another. But ultimately, I think that any sort of platform that we can give the community to actually give feedback and provide feedback to us is always very important. And so I guess on that principle, I'll be voting against the amendment.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Hull?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I think there is a lot to be said for community input into this process, as we've seen this evening. And I'm certainly speaking for myself. I would like to hear contributions from local residents. You raised the You raised Appian Way earlier in your remarks, and that's something I would certainly welcome. I mean, certainly residents from that area have spoken to me about, questioned about the non-state heritage listing of Appian Way, and questions have been raised to me in the past about that matter, and I'm certainly encouraged by your remarks there, Mr. Mayor, that that process might, be progressing at some stage. I think there is a lot of merit. There's merit in a certainly a councillor workshop. I don't see why that can't be, can't be considered as well, and it can't be a separate item, I suppose, in this. It's something that I would certainly be interested in being educated about the past processes and the past strategy that the council has adopted in this area. At the same time, I think there is merit in Councillor Cutch's motion as well. I think on balance, I'm inclined to support Councillor Cutch's motion, and we can always come back to a councillor workshop in the form that's been suggested by Councillor Crichton.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor, we've had a number of speakers for and against, so I'm just going to go to Councillor Crichton for a right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think more than ever, it's been evidenced around the table tonight that we would all benefit from a councillor workshop on this really important issue. To me, I simply can't ignore the amount of work undertaken by our staff and the expenses that's been afforded to our heritage portfolio here at Council over many years. Yes, and I just think it's really important that everyone's receives the same briefings, and I really hold firm in my desire to have a councillor workshop before any further consideration of heritage items. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. We'll put it to a vote. All those in favour of the amendment, so it's Councillor Crichton, Councillor Manner, Councillor Esper and myself. Those against, Councillor Kutcher, Hull and Robinson. The amendment has been adopted. The amendment has now become the motion. So again, it's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manner. Do you all want to speak again, or are you happy to?
Mayor, I'd like to withdraw the motion. It's now substantially...
Well, that motion's now dead, so this is now the motion.
The briefings that we received, I was under the impression that I now would be able to withdraw that motion.
I might just seek some advice from Tanya. I think your motion is withdrawn by fact that the amendment has been adopted, but I might just get some advice from Tanya. Tanya, I might just get you to come up there. Or Michelle, sorry.
Just been conferring with my colleagues. It appears that we didn't have a seconder of the motion originally put forward by Councillor Cutcher. Therefore, it is not the property of the meeting. So it is out of order to be discussing an amendment if the motion has not become the property of the meeting. Under normal circumstances, once a motion has been put forward and then an amendment is proposed and voted on legitimately, it is too late for that motion to be withdrawn because it has become the property of the meeting.
So the amendment has been adopted?
Well, we didn't actually have a seconder of the original motion.
So we've got to do it all again.
Technically should not have proceeded.
So we've got to do it all again. Okay. So your motion, Councillor Kutcher, so you put the motion. Do I have a seconder?
I will second it.
For the motion. My understanding was you could second and then put an amendment.
Correct. But we didn't have the substantive motion on the floor with a seconder.
Okay. Well,
Before an amendment to that was proposed.
Okay, so now she's got to move the amendment, is what you're telling me.
Correct.
Okay. So did you want to speak again, all over again, or should we just put the vote and then we can speak on the amendment?
Yeah, look, I think let's just move on. I think we all have... Said what we need to say, and let's get the process underway.
So it's been moved by Councillor Kutcher, seconded by Councillor Robinson. Now I've got a motion to amend the motion, which is by Councillor Kutcher. By Councillor Crichton.
And do I have a seconder for that amendment? So it's been seconded by Councillor Manner. Again, we'll just have a vote on the amendment. So all those in favour of the amendment, there's Councillor Crichton, Esper, Manner and myself. Those against were Councillor Kutcher, Hull and Robinson. So the amendment has been adopted, which has now become the motion. So we now we have to vote on the motion. So we missed the process of a seconder for your original motion. Now, it's been moved by Councillor Crichton and it's been seconded by Councillor Manner, which I believe now this is the motion, Councillor Kutcher, so that motion doesn't proceed, so it was lost. I think in answering your question. Speakers. Councillor Robinson.
Yes, despite having voted against the amendment, I will be voting for this because I do support the workshop, but I would like to see Councillor Kutcher's ideas brought forth one day.
Any other speakers? Look, I'm going to speak in favour of the amendment. I know there were some comments made on involvement of the community. The community can get involved now. There's four examples that have happened in the last 3 years where we've had community involvement, which have had really good outcomes. So it's not about stopping community involvement. It's about just having a bit of an orderly approach. So it's I guess, an approach of two systems. So am I sold on the system that was being proposed by Councillor Kutcher at this stage? I'm not, but I'm open to seeing how it could work. I just think a more strategic approach is the way to go, and then obviously we will get those suggestions from residents like Urella Street, like Seal Street, like Cooper Street, like Lucas Road, which have all become heritage items over the last couple of years. So the community involvement is working. If it's a matter of putting something on the council portal, I'll seek advice from staff on how that would work and what that would then mean for our heritage advisor who and how he responds to that. So does he stop the strategic sort of approach and starts targeting those, or do we go through a meeting where they allow them some formality to do a preliminary approach to the item, and then if it needs to proceed, it proceeds. Councillor Crichton, your right of reply.
Thank you. Finally, I would just like to say that in the last term of council, we also spent a fair bit of time on trying to promote our local heritage because we do value it. We updated our heritage walking trail map, and I really look forward to stage two of our street sign renewal program. Stage two will include street blades, which will depict and highlight our very treasured conservation zones.
Thank you, Councillor. Put the motion. All those in favour? So, Councillor Crichton, is that unanimous for that motion or not? Sure. No, I'm just so she needs to record. Okay, so that was unanimous. Just for the recording of the minutes, that's all. So now, next item is 11/22, pavers and hoardings. Have you all had a chance to read the minute? I think there's just been a bit of... I've got the minute there, so I'm not going to read it all out. I just want to ensure that in the town centres, where we can, we are using the pavement, so we're matching pavement, because we're getting some of the off-streets. Apparently, the developer only has to provide a concrete type finish, and then council's using sections 117 funds. Is that correct, Dylan, where we... then paying the difference to put the pavers. So I just want to look at, apparently I've been advised that it could be seen as double dipping if we did both, because we get the funds from 117. So I've just asked for a bit of a review of that. My other concern is with regards to hoarding. We put in a hoarding policy with public art, and I've seen a couple of developments that have gone up in the town centre where they've just put normal temporary fencing. And my question is, why has that been missed? The advice I have received is that it has or was previous approvals. to when the policy came in. So I just want to make sure we're capturing all. I'll put any questions. Sorry, Councillor Cryan.
Not actually a question, but I just have to speak, as I always do, about creative hoardings. It just adds so much colour and a pop of colour and art to busy roads like Parramatta Road. So at the moment we've got the wonderful green space hoarding along there, and the Meet You There along Liverpool Road. We need more of this, and I just don't think it's good enough for developers to perhaps try and bypass this really important policy of Borough Council. And it is the envy of other councils. I know that Canada Bay would like to copy it. So,
thanks, Councillor. Any other questions? Speakers, put them in. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Next item is confidential item. We've got 283/22 and 84/22. Do I have a motion to go into closed session? It's been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Esper. The reason we're going into closed session is there's two items, 83/22 and 84/22, and they are to the exclusion of the press and public in accordance with Section 10A2D of the Local Government Act, as they involve commercial information of a confidential nature. Do I have any objections into going into closed session? I know there's no objections. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Sorry,
count four first.
Yep. Do 83 first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In relation to item 84-2, Council's resolutions, the Council resolves to, number one, approve Burwood Community Welfare Services Incorporated request and proposal for extended funding as detailed in the report to support the lease rental for a further 12 months from October 2022 to September 2023, and two, convene a meeting with Burwood Community Welfare Services Incorporated and other community organisations to identify synergies and potential partnerships in relation to longer term accommodation arrangements. The resolutions for item 83-2, Woodstock childcare, Council has resolved that, one, consent to a five-year lease term between Burwood Council and J&D Abraham Pty Ltd in accordance with the proposed conditions detailed in this report for the premises 2/605138 part, being the Woodstock Childcare Centre, commencing 1 November 2022 to 31 October 2027. Resolution number two, to provide a public notice of the proposed lease under Section 47 of the Local Government Act 1993. Resolution number three, to provide the General Manager with authority to negotiate the terms of the lease as per Council's resolution and enter into a lease agreement under power of attorney.
Thank you. There being no further items, I declare the meeting closed at 7:15. Thanks, councillors, for your attention.